Hey everyone, welcome to Best Little Wrestling Podcast in the Business. That's right, it's Shooting the Shiznit and it's Tuesday. This is episode 27 and we're live from STS Studios in St. Louis, Missouri, building an empire for Wrestling Ride Network. That's right, thank you everyone for their kind, nice, hey, I like that, great idea, you need to do this, blah, 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 when it came to Thursday show. Who wants to be the best shiznitter ever? Thank you for all the downloads. What we're going to do is we're going to tighten some things up. And the next episode, which will be next Thursday, we will see about some new stuff on there. This Thursday, though, we have the Cool Kids Countdown. Me and my co-host, Lance Lunch Levine. That's right. We should have a lot of fun. We've been working on this one. I can't wait for you here. That'll be episode 28 of Season 3 this Thursday. If you haven't listened to the last Thursday show, go and listen to it. And we want you to vote, too, there on stspod.club. I want to thank my buddy Sean, who's been syndicated on Wrestling to Max website. That's W2MNet.com. He's actually putting this show up every week up there. Also, PayPal.com, Brian_Trammell@Yahoo.com. Thank you for everyone making the donations. T-shirts are available. Amazon Music Unlimited. We get a kickback. Go to stspod.club, and on the right side, you can do the shirts. You can do a little bit of everything. Follow us on at Comic Book Mark BT, and also we have that super secret group. It's not for the kiddos. It's Cool Kids Wrestling and MMA Talk Facebook group. You have to actually search for the group, and then you ask to be in it, and we let you in it. We're also on iTunes, and we're on Stitcher. I want to say, and a big plug out to Suplex City Limits. These are my podcast bros, Suplex City Limits. Creative Control, you can also get that John Bullied Me t-shirt. You can still get that. Locals to Legends Wrestling Radio. That's at Locals2 Legends on Twitter. That's my good buddy Gene Jackson and Neil Taylor there. Okay, no further ado, no further BS. Let's get to this week's show. As I said, it's Tuesday, and my guest is waiting on the line here in the green room. It's Dylan Hayes. Dylan, welcome to Shooting a Shiznit.
Well, thank you for having me. I screwed up. We were supposed to do this yesterday, and I screwed up because I forgot Central Time exists. So I'm glad we've got this.
No, kayfabe, we don't make mistakes here. No. I'll just be, you know, I'm pretty much honest here. I'll just shoot for you. You know, I cussed you a little bit. But other than that, you know, we're good to go here. I don't know if you've listened to a lot of episodes, but I do know you put me over sometimes on Twitter. So I want you to know what we do here is it's just like two guys sitting down shooting the shit. And that's why it's either somebody I've known for a long time, which last week's guest was Austin Lane, and y'all go listen to the episode if you haven't. This week's episode is someone that I don't know. We've never met. And we talked just a little bit before going on the show, and I may be even confused about who you are. But it is your Twitter is always – there's tons of pictures. You're all over the place. But what I find most interesting with you, we had actually interviewed what we call a super fan, and Kerry was he goes to all the WWE events, has the chair, does the front row, the whole nine yards. And it was really interesting to talk to him. But you guys, you're running around on the independent scene, and that's what I like. I mean, I've been to two Glory Pro shows, and I've been involved in Memphis area wrestling forever until I moved here to St. Louis. But indie scene is so hot right now. First and foremost, I want you to put over, because I can sit and talk forever, and I actually want you to talk some. I want you to put over your Twitter, your Facebook, or whatever we got first, so we get that out of line. I always forget to do that. So go ahead and tell people how they can reach you.
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at Dylan Waco. That's DylanWaco. And since it was mentioned, you can find the other half, if you want to say that, although sometimes there's more of us in the Hales clan grouping, which is my father, Papa Hales. He, you can find him at MikeHales9 on Twitter. And we typically are traveling together when we're traveling. And you're right, we've been to independent shows, all over the country with a shocking degree of regularity over the last couple of years, especially. I mean, everything from, you know, Glory Pro right there in the Midwest, which I can say with confidence is one of our favorites, to Beyond Wrestling, to, you know, APW in California, and kind of all points in between. So we're very fortunate to be able to travel and, you know, take in events all over the country, because one of the things that I think does appeal about independent wrestling versus the WWE, and this is by no means a knock on the WWE, it's just the sort of regional and stylistic diversity that you see on the indie scene. I mean, if you go to an indie show in, you know, St. Louis or Chattanooga, for example, which is where we live, even though those two places are only six and a half hours away, there's very different independent wrestling cultures. There's different talent that you can see. There's different styles that you can see. And we live in a world now where, because of social media and video, digital content and things of that nature, you can explore that stuff and learn about that stuff. But being able to personally experience different independent shows in the flesh, and especially in my case, getting to do it with my father, makes it, I mean, to me, it's a totally different experience, and it's something that has become an absolute passion for us.
It's also because I want you to tell, you know, with your dad and how all that got started, but it's, wrestling was a big part of me. With I went through a divorce, and my three children, I have three girls, and that was what we, when they were growing up, would do on the weekends. I mean, if we had the money and we decided we wanted, that was the cheap thing to do in the Memphis area. I packed all three of them up, and we would head to an independent show, at least three, you know, every month. And they, that's the way we bonded. And it was weird because my kids, my oldest, learned psychology without me even really knowing it until one day where she said, she was like 14 years old, and she said, "You know, Dad, that was a horrible show." And I said, "Yeah, it really was pretty bad." She said, "None of them used psychology." And I was like, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, you know, none of them even, they didn't even do a hot tag." And I'm like, "Okay, all right." I did good as a dad. But, yeah, I mean, did you grow, I mean, your dad is huge. He's always, you know, like, I've seen your dad there on I've seen you on ROH. I've seen him, you know, like I said, a couple Glory Pro shows. I've seen him in the front row. Been meaning to go over and say, hey, but it seems like every time I'm going to say hi to him, there's just so many people around. But did you guys, I mean, did you grow up? Has wrestling always been part of your childhood and everything?
Okay, so I'm 35 years old. I'm the oldest of four boys. Of the four of us that were raised by my dad, only one of us is not a wrestling fan at all. The other three are all major fans, and you know, I travel with my dad more than the other two do, but both of them, you know, Dustin and Devin, go out to a lot of towns with us too. And, you know, I can't remember a time when I was not watching wrestling. Like,
wow.
Like, literally some of my first memories in my life were watching wrestling. Truth be told, and I think my dad would tell you this, for most of my life, I've actually been a much bigger fan than he has been, in the sense that I follow up much closely. I got involved in tape trading when I was about 10 or 11 years old, started subscribing to newsletters around the same time, you know, started working on historical projects and things of that nature. In the last couple of years, I've actually started doing some promoting, booking, and commentating. It's not like my complete life's work, but I've started to dabble in it some. All of this does flow from the fact that that's what we did, and that was a major pastime for me when I was a kid. But actually, when I was growing up, my dad had worked three, sometimes four jobs. And because of that, when I would go to shows, which more often than not, living in Charleston, South Carolina, were WCW house shows, my best friend's father worked security. So I'd get into all those shows for free if I got there early enough. But my dad actually was not able to come to a lot of those shows because he, again, was working three, four jobs, literally three, four jobs for most of my childhood, actually.
Right.
And for that reason, you know, I do have experiences with my dad. You know, my dad and myself are both humongous Terry Funk fans. During the famous Terry Funk Ric Flair feud in 1989, we went to a couple house shows together where he notably was cheering for Terry Funk and almost got us killed. things of that nature. So absolutely, he did come to shows with me as a kid, and he is one of the people that sort of influenced me and got me watching it from an early age. But this degree of fandom and going out and sort of experiencing it, you know, as like a major pastime, is really something that he and myself, you know, have escalated in the last 2.5 or 3 years. You know, as his health's gotten worse, he's had to retire from being a teacher, and as I've ended up getting more free time and things of that nature, we've just been able to do more of this. And but it's been with me for, I mean, honestly, as long as I can. There's no point in my life where I was not a wrestling fan. Like the concept of not being a wrestling fan is almost alien to me. I didn't have the good fortune of getting to go watch Derek King live a bunch of times, which you would have if you were in the Memphis area. But
the great Derek King. But, hey, Derek's a good friend of mine, and
I love Derek King,
to death.
Legitimately,
yes. And he has he actually has retired now twice, so in the last 35 days, and so we're I think I should put up a poll here to see how many times he'll retire this year. But Derek is, and Derek listens to the podcast, so, but he's one of those guys that gosh, he should have made it bigger. He really should have. He was
totally agree.
So good, just so good, and still so good. And you know, I've told him this before, but we've said in the locker room where I said, I could teach everybody in this locker room basic psychology. But he has that extra that would have made him a star where, you know, after you do everything, what do you do next? And I would have never known. And he was the guy to do that kind of stuff. So let's quit putting over Derek King. He'll be smiling. But yeah, I see Derek a lot of matches, and he was the top. I did a website in the Memphis area for 5 years, a kind of a Meltzer website. And he was the best guy there. I mean, he won every – we did awards just like Meltzer does, and he won every, you know, usually match of the year, wrestler of the year. He was the top guy when I quit doing that site. And until recently, he was, you know, he's always been the top guy. But so you were getting in free and everything, and Dad and your friend's dad was security. Did you have any stories as a kid? And at that point, were you – because here's the way I was. I kind of always knew that wrestling was a work, but I never knew how it was a work until later. But when you were you doing this, were you able to, you know, were you ever able to talk to someone or, you know, a bad meeting with with one of the stars there? Or did you were you able to, you know, talk to them, any of the big stars during that time?
We got to talk to a lot of guys. It was me and my best friend. So we were there sometimes, I mean, 6 hours, 7 hours before the show. So that was the price of getting in free, is that you had to sit there and twiddle your thumbs. If you were lucky, you'd get an interaction with one of the guys. Usually people would wave at you from across the way, if nothing else. They're not going to ignore a kid. But, you know, if you were lucky, you'd get a real interaction. So, you know, there were times where we got to play, you know, throwing around a little football with the Rock and Roll Express in the parking lot, or Brian Pillman used to come up and talk to us all the time. Dustin Rhodes used to come up and talk to us all the time and actually knew us by our first name. I'm sure he wouldn't remember us now, but that was when you were a kid. That's like the coolest thing in the world, you know.
Right.
You know, we met Barry Windham a bunch. My favorite was always Arn Anderson, because he would acknowledge us and sort of be nice to us. And if, you know, on maybe two or three occasions, there was a good guy who was also sort of stumbled into our presence when Arn was around, and Arn would always immediately turn on the bad guy face and let us know why that other guy was a jerk and how he was going to beat him up. So that was always pretty cool. And yeah, I mean, look, I don't I can't remember when I sort of knew that it was that wrestling was worked. Like I can't remember when it was, but it was very, very young, and it never bothered me. Like you, I didn't know how it was done, and also presumably like you, because we're doing this podcast right now, it never affected my fandom ever. Like at no point did I ever think, oh, this isn't, you know, a real fight. Well, now I hate it. In fact, in some ways, it actually made me like it more. Because it sort of appealed to me that, God, these guys must be really good at what they do, because I can't tell. And you know, that to me is one of the things that makes pro wrestling, you know, so exciting, is that it's the mystery of it. You know, even now,
right.
I've got lots of friends in and around the business. I don't know sometimes what's going on. And that's what makes it so fun.
Well, Lance Russell, we did at one time. We did a convention, and Lance was there. And this was, gosh, many moons ago, 86 maybe, 87. And he was asked that question: what he says to people that tell him. And these guys in 86 and 87 were being just total open, honest with us about everything. And he said that he told people it was like a movie, that you didn't know the ending. So, you know, you don't call a movie fake, why do you call wrestling fake? And I kind of really grabbed a hold of that and felt that way. But I was here, you know, it never bothered me. And then as soon as I started subscribing to The Observer and actually knowing what was going on inside the business, then that's when I wanted to be a photographer. I wanted to be a manager. I wanted to do this. I actually think that during one part of wrestling, I had quit watching wrestling and Observer, subscribing to The Observer and having more fun just doing – I kept up with the business. But my dad was actually opposite in the sense that he was a wrestling fan as a very young age, got on a ferry, which tells you in Dyesburg, Tennessee, how long it was to travel. And when he got on the ferry, two of the guys that were feuding, and I believe it was Tojo Yamamoto and Jerry Jarrett, were together on the boat together talking. And that killed him. So at that point, it was fake-ass wrestling, and he didn't want to, you know, talk about wrestling anymore, and he wasn't a fan. And the only time I ever saw my dad watch wrestling again was, it's a famous Mid-South match, and it's Ted DiBiase and Ric Flair after Murdoch turns on DiBiase. And that was the only match that I ever saw him watch, and he actually enjoyed it. Hold on just a minute, Dylan.
Well,
we're going to take a quick commercial, and then when we come back, we'll come right back to
Hey, guys and girls, here's what I want you to do right now. I want you to stop what you're doing. That's right, I want you to stop listening to this podcast, and I want you to listen to last Thursday's podcast. That's right, go to stspod.club and listen to Who Wants to Be the Best Shiznitter Ever. What? Yeah, that's right. Who wants to be the best shiznitter ever? Brian and Matthew battled it on for 30 minutes. So what you got to do is you got to listen to the podcast. Then you got to vote. Who was the best shiznitter ever? Do it now. Right now. Go. STSclub.pod.club. Go to STSpod.club. Hopefully, BT's going to be okay. Be there!
All right, we're back with Dylan Hayes. I just said something about Dick Murdoch and Ted DiBiase and Ric Flair and my dad, and you were fixing the comments. So what were you going to say there?
Well, I was going to say that's actually, you know, on top of being a famous match and angle, it's also a match where I could see why it would appeal to somebody like your father, who had sort of objected to the phoniness of seeing Tojo and Jerry Jarrett together on a ferry, because that match is one of those matches that sort of, you know, it feels like a shoot when you're watching it. When you watch the angle in the studio and the brainbuster on the floor and everything, it feels like a shoot. So it makes sense to me that would be a match that somebody who sort of fell out of love with wrestling after being confronted with the reality of it might pull on their heartstrings a little bit and make them rethink that.
It was. I mean, it was, and it's still one of my favorite things. And I talked about on an earlier episode, Flair and Lawler being on television, me thinking, you know, I was mad at my best friend's dad because he was going to turn the TV off. And that was and the idea that we can actually watch those angles in those matches over and over now, but just being upset that maybe I would have. And I did the same thing you did. I did tape trading. You know, we talk about tape trading, how you can watch everything now online, which makes it so, being a fan makes it so easy. And if you don't like the current product, there's, and I don't understand, there's so much out there that can, that you can like in the current product. Then you can always sit and watch old stuff all the time, which I can't do. I watch some of it, but not all of it. So you guys, I mean, is there a certain distance you guys will not go? Where you been? Let's just talk about where have you been this year in 2017?
So we've been to, well, we did 12 or 13, maybe 14 shows over WrestleMania weekend in Orlando, right? I mean,
oh my
over basically, I think a 4-day period. Yeah. So I mean that alone was.
What was the best match for you guys? What was the best match for you during that weekend?
Boy, I don't know if my dad would answer the same. I will personally.
Well, you. What would you say? What was your favorite?
I probably would pick Keith Lee versus Donovan Dijak from I believe the second Evolved show that weekend. Just because, and I'm usually not a guy who is as enamored with matches that are sort of completely constructed around high spots. That's not necessarily, I mean, here I am putting over Derek King. That shouldn't be a surprise, but, but guys of this size doing what they were doing and the precision with it and the real sense of danger that sort of permeated the match is not something you always get to see, especially up close. So that would probably be my choice. Although we saw a lot of good ones. In fact, I actually had traveled in March. The trip for me was actually crazier than him for once. Usually he'll take an extra day and make the trip even crazier on his end. You know, but what I did was I flew out to Austin, Texas to see Wrestle Circus with him. Then I flew to Los Angeles to drive cross country with my girlfriend to go all the way to a CWF Mid-Atlantic 2-day tag team tournament in North Carolina. And then we drove from North Carolina to Orlando. to do that.
Wow.
So that was about a week and a half, 2 week long period in March. That was my life. You know, the old man's done. God, I mean, he had a weekend not that long ago where he did Glory Pro, AAW, and Wrestling Revolver up in Iowa all in the same weekend, and then you know came back to Chattanooga, and I think was out maybe 2 or 3 days later doing another show. So, in fact, I'll tell you this, as we speak, I will actually be in Knoxville for a show later on tonight. So,
who's in Knoxville tonight?
Yeah.
Who's in?
I forget the name of the promotion. God help me. I think it's Southern Underground Wrestling, not to be confused with Southern Underground Pro, which runs out of Nashville, which I actually do commentary for. They're doing a show tonight that has people like Ethan Page, Donovan Dijak, Michael Elgin's on the show, Trey Miguel, I believe Dave Crist is on the show, Tyler Matrix, who, you know, has wrestled at Glory Pro before. So it looks pretty good. It's a relatively short trip for me, only about an hour and 40 minutes from where we are. So, you know,
you know, going across town for you. So, I mean, with where you guys travel. And I love what you said. I wanted to comment about this, Keith Lee, the feeling that you get. Now, me, all three Elgin matches so far for Glory Pro have been the best three matches. They're just been and it's because you got Elgin, and I always put guys like Ricochet and other guys ahead of him for some reason, but every time I see him live or every time I see him, even, you know, an independent match on YouTube or something, he is really right now got to be. He's got to be one of those top guys on the indie scene, and maybe the guy. And Keith Lee is just, the first time I saw him, he was in the tag team there. I was kind of impressed with them guys because they were big, and I liked the bigness of them. But, man, when I seen him against Elgin, I just had to go back and watch matches that, you know, that he's had in a recent with Evolve and everything. Just a great talent, and it's going to make lots of money in this business. I mean, lots of money. And, you know, he's probably easily already on the WWE radar for those guys wanting it, because he has not only does Keith have the size, he's like, and Dijak does the same thing. Two guys are big, huge guys that do, well, they do everything. They fly, they do a little bit of everything, and I'm just real impressed with him. Who else, who out there that you're seeing that, like I said, you know, we both know how hot the indie scene is and how good the talent is, and I just, the level of talent that was on the Glory Pro shows, and I went to Memphis Area Wrestling, and where you have, like I said, you have a Derek King or you have a couple other guys that are good, but WrestleCard, I hate to say this, but it sucks. And no, I don't hate to say it. It did. The WrestleCard would suck. But you go to a Glory Pro or you go to AAW or you go to they, from top to bottom, it reminds me of old-time wrestling where, you know, Bobby Eaton was opening the match at Mid-South Coliseum. These guys, and it's almost like the Elgins and the guys that are on top, we're going to see them go probably WWE or somewhere else. And then all these other guys, like, you know, the Glory Pro Champion, who I think has all kinds of, you know, potential, but he's in the lower rung. He's coming up. Who are the guys that you think, I know the main guys, but who are those guys that maybe someone needs to look at that has that we might have missed, that you're seeing every week or every other week, and you're saying, dang, these guys need to be seen?
Well, I admit that this is partially plug-based because I am involved and help run the Scenic City Invitational Tournament in Chattanooga.
Right, we want to put that over, by the way. I'm sitting here looking at a picture right now, but, yeah, put that over big time here.
We have a couple of guys on that show that those shows really, because it's a 2-day event, but that I think really speak to what you're saying. Guys who I think are going to be breakout stars, guys who I think are excellent talents that rival, you know, are way beyond their years in the business. And that'd be Kurt Stallion, who you've probably also seen in Glory Pro.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And Dominic Greeny, who comes out of the, you know, the AIW school. Rest in peace, Chandler Biggins, by the way, who passed away last night. I hated to hear that. One of the co-owners of AIW had a huge impact on independent wrestling and a big influence on me and a lot of my friends personally. But, you know, those two guys, Dominic Greeny, he's got that MMA style, but it's not a forced MMA style. He looks very natural and comfortable in the ring. I've seen him in there with top stars, guys like Zack Sabre Jr., and he holds his own, doesn't look out of his depth, which is something that you can usually tell with guys who are a little bit newer. He doesn't look like that. He hangs, you know, with everybody. AIW has invested a lot in him. I think he is going to be a huge player. He's already had a tryout match with Evolve, which I think says a lot. One other guy who I'll put over a little bit real quickly, because he just popped into my head, AJ Gray, who's a Tennessee guy, super talented hybrid athlete that can do almost anything in the ring. If you need a guy to work a power match, he can do it. If you need a high flyer, he can do it. If you need tag team, he can do it. Singles, he can do it. And most importantly, he travels everywhere and gets better. That's why Kurt Stallion's so good. That's why Dominic Greeny's gotten so good so fast, because these guys actually travel. They don't work the same two or three shows. They don't work with the same two or three people. A guy like Stallion, if you watch where Stallion is now compared to where he was when he was just working the shows in Texas, I'm not knocking the shows in Texas because some of them are very good, but he's at a completely different level. Now, some of that, and he'll say so himself because he's a friend of mine, is due to the fact that Mike Elgin's an awful good trainer. But a lot of that is also due to the fact that he's out there going to shows and constantly trying to improve and get better and learn from all of his experiences. And I'm overjoyed to have him and Dom both, as well as the rest of the field, coming into Chattanooga on August 4th and 5th for the Scenic City Invitational, because those are two of my guys when it comes to guys who I think are going to be the next stars in indie wrestling.
I tell you what I noticed with Stallion, and this is, and usually you don't notice this until it's months or years down the line, is I went to the first Glory Pro show and I noticed a few things he was doing that was so rookie. I mean, it was simple things. There, you know, it's not about just the moves, it's about what you do in between kind of thing. And some of the things he was doing in between the moves was just really green. And I know this sounds really weird, but there was some kind of movement in his head that he just wasn't confident enough. And I'm talking 2 months down the line, you know, the third Glory Pro show, I'm seeing a total different wrestler. I mean, we're talking, you know, 90 days apart, and a guy who has all of a sudden grown all this confidence. And I'm thinking to myself, I told my wife, I said, this kid keeps improving like this, you know, and gained some weight. I kid him on Twitter about it. He said, send him protein, is what he told me. So one of these days I'll bring me one of those big things of protein. But just an excellent, really improving over and over and over. I hate to do this, but we're almost out of time. I want you to hurry. You've talked about the Invitational, and I've seen it on Twitter. You guys, first let me know from my point of view, are you guys going to put this up on, you know, Smart Mark Video or something after it's done, because it's a two-night tournament?
It absolutely will be released for video. We've done it the previous 2 years. We will do it again this year. We haven't decided what method that it will be distributed through yet, but it will be distributed.
All right, go ahead and put it up. We got about 2 minutes. Tell us where, when, date, time, and try to give as many people as possible that's on the show.
Sure, I'm going to go straight into shill mode. East Hamilton High School, Ottawa, Tennessee, which is a suburb of Chattanooga. It's effectively Chattanooga. This is the third annual Scenic City Invitational. We're doing it August 4th and August 5th. This is a benefit for a local high school athletic department, but it's not like your average benefit show. We bring in some of the top talent from all over the country. We've got Matt Riddle, Joey Janela, Darby Allin. Last night we actually announced St. Louis's own favorite son, Gary J, versus Anthony Henry in a first-round match. We've got a lot of top-tier local talent, including people like Joey Lynch, Matt Lynch, Gunnar Miller. Perhaps most notably, the Strong Style Psycho Tank, who's something of an independent legend, particularly in this region, is retiring that weekend. He is in the tournament. He wrestles Matt Riddle on night one. If he wins, he advances. If he loses, he's done. Either way, at the end of the weekend, it will be his last weekend in professional wrestling. We have the Carnies versus the Hierarchy in a special bonus street fight on night two. Kurt Stallion, Dominic Greeny. It's a loaded field, 16 people. I feel bad for the guys I'm missing, but I'm trying to hit all the points. Jason Cade, who's another one of the top up-and-comers in independent wrestling. Actually, I do want to hit on that real quick. Torque, Shane Marks. It's a loaded field, great combination of regional, national, and local stars, which is what we try to do with the tournament every single year. Again, it's August 4th and 5th, Chattanooga area. Message me on Twitter, at Dylan Waco. I can help you out with tickets. $15 for floor seats, $10 for general admission. If you want floor seats, act soon, because they're selling very, very fast. Follow us on Twitter, at SCI Tournament. For any other updates and details, we do first-round match announcements every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, not Central Time. So that's the show. That's the shill there for you.
And that's not all you get. Also with that, again, soon enough, it slices, it dices. Nah. Yeah, hey, I went into chill mode there for a couple of seconds. Hey, man, it's been a pleasure. I do thank you for coming on. I think everyone's going to enjoy this episode a lot. Like I said, I like to sit down for people I don't know. And next time we're at a show together, I'm going to come over and shake your hand. So,
August 20th, Glory Pro. It's my dad's birthday. We'll be there if you can make it.
All right. Thanks a lot. Hey, thanks to Dylan for coming in and joining us today. And I want to thank all the listeners. If you're listening right now, I want to thank you for listening. I know there's a lot of podcasts out there, and I appreciate you coming on here and listening to Shooting a Shiznit. Another sad note. This seems like I have ended the last two episodes on a sad note, but I had news yesterday as I was doing some pre-production on here of the episode that a longtime fan, Rodney Lighton, he was a fan. He was a fanzine publisher during the Wrestle Riot days back in the early 90s. He's a guy I haven't talked to in probably about 15 years, and probably because he was in – I know this is going to sound weird, but he never got the internet. He was – in my mind, he was this lumberjack that – and that was his job for years – who stayed in, you know, the woods of Canada and never came out. Just a big burly man, and he lost his apparently had some heart problems and left this world yesterday. Hey Rod, maybe we'll see you on the other side there. Rest in peace, big guy. And guys, join us next week, same bat time and same bat channel, for the best little podcast, wrestling podcast, in the business. That was for you, Lance.
Good news, great news, amazing news. The beauty brand's annual leader sale is here. Protect that gorgeous do of yours with professional salon products. Save up to 74% on over 180 top brands like Biolage, Redken, Hemp's, Paul Mitchell, and more. Pamper your mane and pamper it good. I'm excited. You're excited. We're all excited. It's Leader Sale.
Beauty Brand's annual Leader Sale. All your favorite salon professional shampoos and conditioners starting at just $13.99. Get to your nearest store or visit beautybrands.com.
Good news, great news, amazing news. The beauty brand's annual leader sale is here. Protect that gorgeous do of yours with professional salon products. Save up to 74% on over 180 top brands like Biolage, Redken, Hemp's, Paul Mitchell, and more. Pamper your mane and pamper it good. I'm excited. You're excited. We're all excited. It's leader sale.
Beauty Brand's annual leader sale. All your favorite salon professional shampoos and conditioners starting at just $13.99. Get to your nearest store or visit.